Blog Talk Radio.
Throughout the entire week, we have different ceremonies and services. We have a chrism mass for taking in your diocese this week. We have Holy Thursday mass, the Feast of the Lord's Supper. You have Good Friday service because there's no mass celebrated. You have the Easter Vigil, and you have Easter Sunday. We also then, on the second Sunday, we enter this time of divine mercy. And that is the most beautiful thing, is the divine mercy, especially when we listen to the words of John Paul II, whom he loved the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Divine Mercy Devotion itself, so much. You know, when this Divine Mercy, Faustina was writing this stuff down, and she was starting to spread this devotion, saying, Jesus wants you to pray this. People, oh, they're, especially in Poland, they're like, yeah, buddy, yes, this is a great devotion. I love this devotion with all of my heart. Well, you see, some of these bishops are starting to think, well, what is this? Let me get this to Rome first before you start doing all this other stuff, Faustina. So they sent it to Rome. And Rome gets an invalid translation. They don't know if Faustina is saying that she herself is love and joy, or that Jesus is love and joy. And there was also these mistranslations from the entire translation sent to Rome. And so Rome banned the devotion of the Divine Mercy. Well, this made the people mad. People are like, look at all these miracles that we're getting. Look at all this great miracles and all these things that are happening. This happened to me. This happened to me. And all the bishops were like, no, 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 no. No, no. You cannot do that. But there was this one bishop who listened to the people and said, okay, I understand. The Divine Mercy shall be yours. Let me send another thing to Rome. So this bishop spends, you know, a while getting the correct translation, putting a little more effort into it than the regular bishops that sent it to Rome did. He sent it to Rome. Rome was like, huh, okay. They, you know, lifted the Divine Mercy band, so you're able to be devoted to it. And 6 months later, that bishop, that elected pope, and we know him as St. John Paul II today. So at 4 p.m. Eastern time today, 3 p.m. Central, we will be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet live on YouTube. If you don't know, YouTube has these things called live events, and I'm able to broadcast to you, and we're able to pray together. You don't have to have a microphone or a high-tech camera. All you need is your computer and have access to the internet, so you can watch the YouTube video. It's live, but all you're doing is praying along. So that's at 4 p.m. today, Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central. As I made note of earlier, we are praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for the Hour of Mercy for the Central Time folks, and we are praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for the Eastern Time folks, I believe, on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So on Thursday, which, by the way, we have a lot of things in store for Thursday, it being April 2nd, the day that John Paul II passed away. Also today, we will open up the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 4 p.m., Eastern, with some words of wisdom from our Holy Father, St. John Paul II. Today, we're going to answer your questions about Holy Week, and we might just have an answer for you. If you would like to call in and ask a question related to Holy Week, perhaps you're discerning the faith and you have, you know, maybe a little quick question you can answer, you can ask, we most certainly will have an answer. We'll be back after the break. Go ahead and call in using the guest call-in number, which if you're watching, you'll be able to listen or find at the top of your screen at 347-989-0056. Also, there have been reporting of commercial things popping up on the side of the screen. And if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, my goodness, all these commercials keep popping up, go ahead and call that number, and you'll be able to listen to the show without commercials.
There's a way of life where simplicity brings joy and humility leads to happiness, where we learn that less is more, and in giving, we receive. It's our refuge from chaos and light to guide us through darkness. It's a place where the broken receive healing and repentant hearts find mercy. Here, our days are set free from anxiety and addictions, and our nights rest with more peace. So, where is this hope, and who knows the way? Our hope rests in Jesus, and His church leads the way. If you're longing to fill an emptiness or seeking a way home, we invite you to experience the peace that only comes from God. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
If you are away from the church, discerning the faith, we want you to come to the church. We would love to have you there. If you have any questions about the church, you can call in and ask them right now at 347-989-0056 or by emailing me at catholic.teen.sb@gmail.com. It's all as if you're just tuning in and you are finding that there's a whole bunch of commercials popping up on the side of your screen. Go ahead and call 347-989-0056 for the commercial free. You just listen in and call. We are working with Blog Talk Radio to get all of the support and all of that stuff underway. Me and both the Catholic Defender, Donald Hartley, he's been on the show a few times as well, as he has his own Blog Talk show, and he is having issues reported. I witnessed on the other night as well, and we are both calling them and emailing them to get this issue worked out, and hopefully it will work for the better, and we'll be able to send you directly to our page when there's a live show, so you can listen in without having to scroll up and down. So once again, if you have a question or just want to call in and listen, you can do so at 347-989-0056. We're going to take our first call now. And I believe it is Chase, but it is area code 432. You are on air.
As I am ever, Seth. Yeah. Well, I suppose my question for you is, since you say Holy Week,
yes,
where's the concept of the live stations of the cross come from, like where they have people dress up as, you know, Mary,
yeah,
and Jesus? Where did all that come from? Because I was reading earlier that the whole idea of Holy Week, so the whole concept of observing Holy Week was alluded to, like, at some point in the latter half of the third and fourth centuries.
Well, it most likely, I'm just popping up this little thing here real quick, and I would like to tell you that it's probably from across seas. We're talking like maybe El Salvador, the Philippines, where those people are very rich in culture of having these things happen. And I have this friend, he's a priest, and I believe I'm going to get him on Facebook here. He's in Cebu City. It's in the Philippines. His name is Romeo, and he's a priest, like I said, in Cebu. And I always enjoy looking at his post throughout this week. He posts those different, you know, pictures from across land, as I guess you could say, of the live stations.
Oh, Yeah, I suppose that might. Sorry about that. I got interrupted and went quickly to the music. Are you still there?
Okay.
Jake?
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay. So I did a quick thing, and I have two things I want to share with you, if you don't mind.
I think this
would be a good topic to talk about as a lot of people are going to be experiencing this stuff in their parish, perhaps this week, if not already. So back to Cebu City, Romeo, he's a priest in Cebu, and they're very active in their culture. They have all these, us here in America, we're very traditional, and I would say that the people over there, they put clothing on their statues. You'll see a lot of like wigs and all that kind of stuff on the statues with real eyelashes and all that. And I have to say that they do these big processions on Good Friday and on Holy Thursday, where they walk through the city. They walk around in the village. And they kind of reenact the station. And not much so the stations, but they reenact the crucifixion. As well as, I don't know where this takes place, but I've always seen around this time where it's called the Jesus Run or something like along the lines of that. And you get this big piece of wood and you tie it to your arm. And it looks like you have, like, fake blood all over you. And to go to the extreme there, we have some cultures in the world where they don't actually crucify people, but they actually put nails through people's hands and their feet as a reenactment. I'm not saying fake, like dramatic, like you'd see on Hollywood. I'm talking about they actually put the nail through their hands. In 2010, something called Experience the Stations started. And it's a multimedia event that has been occurring every Lent since 2004. Oh, my bad, 2004. And it is a modern look at the traditional Catholic prayer, the Stations of the Cross. It consists of video clips, mainstream music, and testimony. And the mission there is to design a way just to stop looking at the Stations of the Cross as something we do during Lent, but whether we face every day in our lives. And I must say that what they do over across the seas in Cebu, Philippines, and much more other places along the lines of then across the seas. And I hear in America, they do those, and probably Mexico as well, they do those big reenactments type things. And I have to say that this would probably have occurred 4th century, between the 4th and the 6th century. Go ahead.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
And this would happen, and they do this probably in a way to evangelize. To say, this is what he did. He went through this. He really did do this, if you haven't seen it yet. And now he's risen, he's in heaven.
Absolutely.
So I would say between the 4th and the 7th century, they're going to start doing these reenactments, these dramas, these plays of what this story is. You know, we as
younger people, I'm sure we have some book gurus out there. I love reading a good book every now and then. But we don't want to take the time to read, you know, all this stuff. And as we're young, you know, age, you know, 5 and up to, you know, 30, you really don't have time to sit down and read. You're going to teach the child quickly the story of the Bible and the stations, not really experience the stations, but really, you know, what happened, what Jesus actually did, what he went through, and who was there along his way up this journey to Calvary where he would die. And it teaches kids youngly that this is what happened, this is what he went through, and this is who was there. Last night, I actually went to Mass at 4:30, and afterwards at 6:30, the high school youth group put on the Stations of the Cross live reenactment. And what I personally got out of it was the reflections put into our current times, being able to reflect on these different things that we as Catholics and as Christians do even today, as we try to live like Christ lived along his way, along by his life, his death, and his resurrection, you know. And to fully answer your question, I would say that this originated between the 4th and the 7th century as a reenactment of what had happened, as a evangelization tool, and as a goal, an accomplishment. And I would say that that occurred across, certainly across these, of course, probably for, like I said, evangelical reasons, but they would do these reenactments. And once the Stations of the Cross were developed, they say, well, these two things match up pretty well. Let's put them together and call them the Stations of the Cross. And ever since then, I'm sure live reenactments have taken place of the Stations of the Cross. For example, I'm sure many of the listeners out there, and as you are, Chase, of the movie The Passion, and
you're talking about Mel Gibson's movie?
Yes, yes.
I watched that last week. Great movie.
Yeah. Yes, it is a great movie. I own it on DVD. So that itself is a live, it's not really a live, it's a put-to-life reenactment of what happened.
Yeah, I read somewhere that movie was sort of based off live reenactments, and you had a very positive point about people who actually put nails to their hands. They do that in the Philippines, although they're advised to get a tetanus shot before doing so, which I don't blame them for being told.
Yeah.
That's got to sting when they put those nails in through the hands.
Yeah. And we think about that today, and we go, oh my gosh, why would these people do that? The pain that they're going through. And the people come from doing that and they go, oh, it must have not been that bad for Jesus. The thing was, he should have been dead before he even picked up his cross, as much as they scourged him.
Yeah, that's very true.
So,
You had a very positive point, too, about all that stuff you just said. It was really good.
Yeah. So, Chase, and for anyone else who is probably interested, when my friend Romeo starts posting about the different things happening over there in the Philippines, I'll be sure to share them with you all. And like I said, really, they take this to
to an extreme over there in the Philippines, dressing up their statues and living like Christ lived during his last days. So we have 5 minutes before 3. And I know our song goes a little long there, and I want to invite you all, including you, Chase, to come today on YouTube using the link on the Why I Am a True Catholic Facebook page, or you can email me at catholic.team.sb@gmail.com for the link, as well as you can message me through Facebook if you would have any questions about it and to request the link. That is today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time or 3 p.m. Central Time. We'll be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and reflecting on the words of John Paul II. God bless you all. Do you have any closing thoughts, Chase?
Yeah, I do. Do you suppose that it could be possible one day that if, since it is Holy Week, I mean, do you think that it's possible that of all the Christians that are taking a part of the Holy Week processions around the world, especially in Israel or Spain, where it's real, real big in Spain, do you think it's possible any of the Catholics that are a part of that are Jews that have converted?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, there's quite a few Jews who have converted. In fact, I read if you read the story on the internet about a French man named Aaron Lustiger, he was a French Jew that eventually went on to become the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris. Very nice story.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good. I think I also would like to say that we should all pray for the retired Bishop of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George.
Yes,
he was readmitted to the hospital.
He readmitted, yes.
I hope he makes it out this time.
Yeah. And if not, he will enter to eternal glory.
Yeah.
Which every Christian wants to enter into eternal glory saying, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." So, Chase, if you don't mind, do you have a closing prayer that you'd like to say?
Well, I guess I could say something, because the only thing that really comes to mind would be to say the Hail Mary. And with your kind permission, may I say it in French in honor of that French Jew that became the Bishop of Paris?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Au nom du Père et du Fils et du Saint-Esprit, je vous salue Marie, pleine de grâce, le Seigneur est avec vous. Vous êtes bénie entre toutes les femmes, Jésus le fruit entre bénie. Sainte Marie, Mère de Dieu, priez pour nos pauvres pécheurs et maintenant et à l'heure de notre mort. Amen.
Amen. And with that, I hope to see you all at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Divine Mercy Chaplet or at 3 p.m. Central Time, as well as tomorrow at sometime between 12:30 and 2. God bless you all. God bless you.